So we're continuing in this idea and in this theme of grateful, thankful, blessed. And we looked at Psalm 34 last week, and I don't know if you all, well, y'all didn't see what I saw from Kyle and Jennifer on Wednesday night, but the psalm that's the whole basis for their new mission that they're starting in Able Farms came from Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. So God just kind of works like that. But Mike just gave us a launching pad to launch from in this short series. It's always a short series, but it's always a series that is needed this time of year. And so we're going to go from Psalm 34 to Psalm 66 this morning to think about how awesome are the deeds of God. And we're thinking about just how blessed we are. And if we are people that are grateful and thankful and blessed, we should respond in thanksgiving and praise. Yes? And that's the whole thought this morning as we are in Psalm 66. We're going to read this together, and then we're going to walk back through it and break it down. So Psalm 66, if you have your Bibles, if you don't, it's up on the screen, and you can read along with me. Hear the word of the Lord. Grace Life. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come clinging to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on the foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God truly has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. This is the word of God for the people of God, church. Thanks be to God. You know, I think about the concept of discipline in our lives. And just as discipline is important in our individual lives, regardless of what we endeavor upon, and just as discipline is important in our individual growth as Christians, as followers of Christ collaboratively and as a body, so too is discipline important for us corporately as a church, as God's people. There are things that we always need to be doing when we gather together, and that means that there are disciplines that each one of us need to be practicing as we come to be a part of those community disciplines. Each Sunday, if the church is faithful when it comes to the discipline of the Word, then each of us must be faithful to the discipline of receiving that Word. And so I ask you this morning, Grace Life Church, are you ready to receive the Word? Have you prepared yourself? Have I prepared myself to hear what God has said? This morning, we're going to look in the Word at a great psalm, and we're going to talk about this discipline of praising God for all that He is. But you're going to see it all throughout Scripture. It's not just in the Psalms. And just to mention a few, in Acts 2, 42 through 47, which is a text we've looked at several times, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers." Right? One of the things that defined the early church was that they praised God. They responded to God's word. God worked among them. And it was more than just a spontaneous reaction. It was more than just that something happened if the conditions were right. They responded to God because they knew who he was, and they knew when they came together that he was gonna act. Hebrews 13, 15 also assures us of this. He says, "Through him then, through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." according to that verse, praising God is not something simply that we do when we feel something is welling up inside of us, although that does happen. But offering up praise to God is something that we should do continually in the good times and in the bad. Praising God is something that we must discipline ourselves to do. And we do that as a community discipline each Sunday morning. James 5:13, he begs the question, is anyone cheerful? If so, let him sing praise. Just like ancient Israel, the early church not only declared praise to God when they gathered, but they also sang praises to God, right? Which is why we sing corporately together. And Irvin says that, and I've been here. It's great to hear them sing. It's great to sing with each other. Something about that as the body sings praise to God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So we see this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. When we come together, we don't sing because there's some kind of, we're some kind of religious glee club here, right? We don't sing that good sometimes, right? You know, I mean, as far as the sound, I mean, I love you, but you know, sometimes we just don't need to sing, right? Like, you know, there's some people that need to sing up here, and there's some people that don't need to sing up here. I'm probably one of these people that don't need to sing up here. I need to put the shovel down. I'm really getting in trouble here. But we're not this religious glee club, right? We don't just get up here just to sing for singing. No, we sing because we're praising God. We sing because the word of Christ is dwelling in us richly, hopefully. We're responding to the God who reveals himself through Scripture. The fact that the first Christians were a people of praise is even confirmed by one of the earliest Christian references that we know to from outside the Bible. This is what one of the historical documents says. They were accustomed to meet on a fixed day before dawn and sing responsively a hymn to Christ as to a God. And so there's as Christianity grew, as Christianity has made its place all over the world, people understand that we are a people who praise God for who he is. And if this season is not for that, I don't know what it's for. So if God's word is clear about the discipline of praise, then what does this mean practically for each one of us this morning? Because that's what we just want to get to. Brian, you can tell us a bunch of history lessons. You can just read the word again and bore us. But what does it mean this morning for us? How do we actually discipline ourselves in terms of praising God? Well, I think in this psalm, we find several reasons to be grateful and thankful and blessed. Do you have those reasons this morning, church? Do we all have that? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that just breaking this down, we should be grateful, thankful, and blessed according to Psalm 66 this morning because God first gives us eyes to see his worth. Look at verses 1 through 4 with me again. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come clinging to you. Don't you love that? You know, I love that picture, that portrait. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Verse 4, we see that worship is what God created us for. Yes? All the earth. If we look together at the first four verses of the song, we learn that when we come each Sunday morning, we need to pray for and come with eyes to see God's worth. The psalm opens with a songwriter calling the whole earth to praise God. Why should he be praised? Well, because of verse 2. The glory of his name. Remember, when the Bible speaks of God's name, the emphasis is not somehow on the actual name of God. It's not on the actual term. God's name refers to what that name represents. God's name is the essence of God's own character. So the psalmist is saying, when we sing, church, sing to the glory of who God is. That's why verse 3 goes on to emphasize the awesome deeds of God that reveal how great is his power. God is defined, the God of Scripture is defined as one who is great, who is awesome, is great in glory and great in power. David makes that same point in 1 Chronicles 29:11. He says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours." He also mentions these two things a few psalms before this one in Psalm 63, and when he writes, "So I have looked upon you in your sanctuary, beholding your power and glory." So what's the psalmist calling us to do? What he hopes the whole earth will do is give praise to God, is sing praise to God, because we too have seen his infinite worth. So last week we were called to taste and see that God is good. And now God says, "I've opened up your eyes and I want you to see how great and glorious I am." I'll tell you a little secret this morning. It may not earn me any bonus points on my man card, but I really do enjoy watching some shows about how some people go and they get in these garages that like have got so much junk in it, it's not even funny, you know. I'm just an American picker's nut. I'll just be completely honest with you, man. And those guys, and PJ goes, "Yep, I've seen our house, and you got a bunch of stuff that needs to be tossed out and burned and everything else." But I love watching. Don't y'all love watching that? And they go in and they look. Hey, man, Mike, that's right. We're in trouble here. But, you know, when they go and they go on these road trips, they pick out something that looks like horrific, you know, and then it ends up being, you know, a jewel, right? You remember those old shows where they would go and somebody would be sitting at a table like in like this suit and tie and they would like appraise something that somebody like found at their grandmother's house, and it ended up being like, you know, worth thousands of dollars. I mean, I was a junkie. I watched that stuff late at night, and PJ just said, "Just don't turn it on until I go to bed. Everything will be okay." But you know, I love hearing about the history of an object. I love to think about heirlooms. I mean, we've got furniture that are handed down from my grandparents and stuff like that. I mean, and PJ and I joke all the time. I think we're the only two kids of, at least on her side of the family, that appreciate that stuff. Some other people don't, and that's not to talk about you if you don't. But some people like those heirlooms, and I love the history behind all of that. You know, not only do I like to hear the history of an object, but I also enjoy seeing somebody's face on those videos when they tell them that there's something that they bought at the yard sale for $5 is worth 50 grand, right? That's really cool. That's a great return on your investment, right? That's good money these days. But all these appraisers, they come to the show with eyes ready to recognize the worth of an object, don't they? How about you and me? When we walk in to Grace Life Church on Sunday mornings, when we walk into the doors of the Parisian Theater, do we come with those same eyes? Do we come ready to be astounded by God? When we declare the Word, when we sing songs based on the Word, our desire is to clearly present God in all of His infinite worth. Think about what we've already sung this morning, right? All you sinners, all you saints. That includes every one of us in here on any given day. And we all get to come to the table because the table is not ours, it's His. And it's big enough for all of us. I mean, think about the words to some of the hymns and the songs that we sing each week. It readies our hearts to sing and hear God's praise. Everything that we do presents to us a God of infinite worth who deserves every ounce of our praise this morning, church. But do we come each Sunday morning with eyes to see the greatness of His worth? Not only should we, you know, we're thankful and grateful and blessed to have eyes to see His worth, but secondly, we're grateful and thankful and blessed that we have minds to remember His deeds. Look at verses 5 through 12. What does He say? Here's the invitation. Come and see what God has done. How He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of men. That's you and me. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him, who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Don't fret. The God of the universe is keeping watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. That's what we've been talking about. This is what Mike reminds us of as he prays each week about the abundance of blessings that God has given us in Christ. There's so many awesome deeds, or awe-inspiring deeds of God. There's no book, nor could there ever be a book that can contain all of them. But the Bible records a number of God's awesome deeds. And even though there are innumerable deeds he could mention, the psalmist goes on to present us in verses 6 through 12 a picture of God's awesome deliverance, his awe-inspiring rescue or salvation. What's being described here is how God rescued his people from Egypt. We know that when we read it, and eventually brought them into the promised land. And as it is in so many of the Psalms and throughout Scripture, what's given special attention here is the parting of the Red Sea and how the event revealed the greatness and the power of God. Can you imagine seeing that, church? You realize that's not just a story, don't you? I mean, God parted the sea, and his people walked across. And then when the enemies came after them, he closed it up. Why? Because he's God. He did that. And this awe-inspiring rescue of salvation. And we need to be reminded each and every time that when we come together, when we come and see what God has done, this discipline of praise, this discipline of remembering God's awesome deeds, when we come together, we need to rehearse what God has done. That's what we're rehearsing when we sing. That's what we're rehearsing when we preach. That's what we're rehearsing every fourth Sunday as we have the Lord's table, right? We're remembering to what God has done. We're rehearsing the gospel. And just as we see here, we need to especially focus on God's awe-inspiring salvation and his deliverance. This might sound strange, but it isn't enough just for us to sing songs based on the Psalms, right? And the truth of the Psalms. We have to remember that, and we have to remind ourselves about it, and we have to go out and tell the world about this great salvation that is found in Christ and in Christ alone. We need to focus on the awesome deeds of the gospel. This is how we must discipline ourselves on Sunday mornings. We need to be a people who gather around the gospel. Because if we can see the gospel clearly, God's praise will well up inside of us. And we'll go out and we'll be the disciple that he calls us to be. Do you know what it means when something goes viral on the internet? It means that just like a virus is spreading in the human body, an image or a video on the web has rapidly spread to a large number of people, mainly through word-of-mouth recommendations. Somebody emails or somebody tweets. I'm Twitterless, so I don't know nothing about that. They're friends, and they say, hey, you got to see this, and it passes on and it passes on. But you know what that is? That's praise. That's a form of praise. That's somebody wanting to sing the praises of a dancing baby or a cat that can fly an airplane, or you know, a 10-year-old that can sing like Aretha Franklin, right? I mean, something like that. That's what they're giving praise to, that particular video or person. But shouldn't our prayer be that God's praises would go viral? Isn't that what Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that simply means may your name be revered, may your name be holy among us. When we come together each Sunday, we need to remember together, church, what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. What love, what grace, what power has been revealed to us in the death and resurrection of Jesus. There's nothing like it in all the universe. Do you come each Sunday with a mind to remember his deeds? We must, because that's the foundation and the fuel for our praises as God's people. So we're grateful and thankful and blessed because we have minds to remember his deeds. Scripture goes on, and not only are we grateful and thankful and blessed for that, but we're grateful and thankful and blessed that we can have lives to offer for his honor. Look at verses 13 through 15. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke and sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Now, if anybody starts doing that this morning, I'm really going to worry about you, okay? Just going to go ahead and tell you. So don't go out and say, well, man, I'm going to go kill the fattened calf today because Brian said, okay, this is Old Testament language here. But what does God have for us here? In Psalm 66, we learn that as we come each Sunday morning, we need to pray for and come with lives to offer for his honor. I don't know if you've thought about this before, but part of what it means to praise God is to respond to him with more than just our words. As we see here, the praise of the psalmist is expressed through his declarations of commitment to God and his submission to God. He's saying here, God, because of who you are and because of what you've done, I will honor you by fulfilling my vows to you. I will honor you by presenting the sacrifices that you've called me to give. As followers of Jesus, Paul reminds us in Romans 12:1, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. The discipline of praise is the discipline of offering our lives to God in his honor and for his honor. That's at the heart of genuine praise. It isn't enough for us to simply come and vocalize theologically appropriate praises. We can sing biblical songs and preach biblical sermons all day long, but if we go out here and it does not affect the way that we live, then we're just like a hamster spinning in a wheel. Think about this. God rebuked his people in Isaiah 29:13. He says, "This people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me." Jesus also referred to this about the Pharisees in the New Testament, right? So oftentimes we can get it right with our lips, but where's our hearts this morning? Our praise, our songs of praise each and every Sunday need to express this kind of devotion. Church, I fully believe this. If we truly recognize God's infinite worth and we remember God's awesome deeds, if we've truly understood the extent of his love and his grace and his power and his faithfulness and his wisdom, how could we not offer him our lives? Yes, because of all that he has done. And so we're grateful and thankful and blessed to have our lives to be offered for his honor. And then the psalmist wraps up and he says, another way that we're grateful and thankful and blessed is that we have hearts to testify of his mercy. Look at verses 16 through 20. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me. You know, I've had many conversations over the years about God-centeredness versus man-centeredness of old music or new music. I fought the worship wars. I was in the church when all this contemporary stuff was coming out, and it was like either all contemporary or all old stuff, and there's never a reason for the, you know, to blend things together. There are many who are out there who I believe rightly criticize a lot of modern praise songs for being too focused on me and my problems and how I feel about God. I believe that, and I'm a guy who enjoys contemporary stuff. But oftentimes, some of the songs are me and my focus rather than first being grounded in who God is and what God has done. But I think those criticisms have gone too far when certain critics pronounce blanket condemnations on the use of first-person pronouns like I and me and mine. I mean, in the psalm here, look, I cried to him, I will offer, I will come, right? If I had cherished iniquity, God has listened to my prayer. The psalmist is making this his own, right? The psalmist is, there's some ownership here in his relationship to God and his responsibility to praise him. God's faithfulness and mercy to us individually should come out in the praises of our life. This songwriter, this psalmist wants us to know that what God has done in his life. In verse 5, he says, come and see. Here in verse 16, he says, come and hear what God has done for my soul. He first points us to the salvation of God at the Red Sea, and then he points us to the salvation of God in his own life. You know, it's not enough just to read of what God's done in the Old Testament. If it's not grace wrought in your own heart and my own heart, then it goes nowhere. God listened to him, the psalmist said. God has not taken or removed his love from him, the psalmist says. When we see here is true praise that cannot come from just this sideline observer. But when we gather on Sunday mornings, we don't come as some removed third party. No, we come to praise God's greatness and power because we have experienced his greatness and power firsthand. Yes? The discipline of praise is the discipline of coming with a heart that is prepared to testify of God's mercy in your own life. How's your heart on Sunday mornings, church? Are you prepared to come and praise and to hear all of God's praise? Have you come this morning having rehearsed in your own heart and mind what God has done for your soul? Does your testimony of God's greatness and grace add fuel to the fire of our corporate praises? It absolutely should. And so here's a final question for us, for each of us and for all of us. Have you and I come to God grateful and thankful and blessed, prepared for praise? Have you and I come with eyes longing to see the worthiness of God? Too often we come to look and see if people are here or if the production is worth our time. Too often we come looking for some kind of experience with Jesus. Have you come with minds to remember God's awesome deeds? Too often we come with minds that are full of our own problems, our to-do list, and minds occupied with our deeds and not God's, or what time kickoff is on Sunday for the NFL. Have you come with a life to offer up for God's honor? Too often we come with a life that is held tightly in our own grip. We come with a desire to see how we can fit God into our plans rather than how God fits us into his. Have you come with a heart ready to testify to the mercies of God? Too often we come with a heart that has just forgotten all that God has done, he is doing, and what he's promised to do for us through Jesus. Too often we come as those who are distracted, as those who are content to just go through the mundane routine of church. But each Sunday morning, we need to prepare ourselves to be a people of praise. We need to come and declare. We need to come and sing. We need to come with a concern, a heart's concern, if we're doing everything for the right reason. We need to be concerned with God. We need to be consumed with all that he is and all that he's done for us through Jesus. Only Jesus, church, only the new life that is found in him and him alone can prepare us for praise. I'll leave you with a quote from 18th century church leader John Wesley and what he tells us about singing our praises to God. He writes this: above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word that you sing. Aim at pleasing him more than yourself or any other creature. In order to do this, attend strictly to the sense of what you sing and see that your heart is not carried away with the sound, but offer to God continually. So shall your singing be such as the Lord will approve here and reward you when he comes in the clouds of heaven. How's our praise this morning? Is it centered on God for who he is because he's opened up our eyes to see it? Because he's given us hearts that can understand. He's given us ears that we can hear the truth of his word and respond accordingly. We are grateful and we are thankful and we are blessed, church, as a people, individually and corporately. But the question God has for us, will we declare that gratefulness, that thankfulness, and that blessedness by the praise of our lips and our lives to him? It's a challenge from Scripture this morning for all of us, and we offer it to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. And let the church say amen.